From NPR News in Los Angeles, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Here's a news headline. President Bush is in Las Vegas today speaking about the just-passed Medicare bill. You can get full details later today on All Things Considered. Now, as to voter turnout when President Bush seeks re-election a year from now, who knows what the turnout will be, but we do know for certain that about 4 million potential voters absolutely will not cast ballots. Felons in prison or on probation can't vote in most states, and in at least a dozen, they're still barred from voting when their sentences are completed. Because of sentencing patterns, African Americans are especially affected. NPR's Rebecca Pearl reports on an effort in New York to restore voting rights to felons.
New York State has nearly 70,000 prisoners behind bars, and most of them serve their time in the rural areas north of the city. Yet overwhelmingly, these prisoners come from just seven neighborhoods in New York City.
All right, we in Harlem, man. You're on hallowed ground.
Jazz Hayden is from one of those neighborhoods. He's one of 130,000 prisoners or parolees in New York State who can't vote because of a felony conviction. As Hayden explains it, just about everyone in Harlem has a brother or a nephew or a cousin who's locked up. Blacks only make up 15% of the state population, yet they make up more than half the prison population. Hayden was born poor, but Harlem was good to him. He ended up owning a building on the block where he grew up.
And I had a club in here. It was called the Torians, too. It was a major club in Harlem back in the 70s.
But that ended in the summer of 1987, when Hayden was arrested for stabbing and killing a sanitation worker. He was sentenced to prison, where he spent the next 13 years. In prison, he got a master's degree in theology. He also filed a lawsuit against the state on behalf of prisoners in New York. The suit claims that excluding prisoners and ex-prisoners from voting is unconstitutional and discriminatory. On Saturday mornings, Hayden hosts a radio show on inmates and criminal justice.
It is not a privilege. It's a right. It's not something that some greedy politician can just...
After the show, he's out on the streets talking about the issue in his neighborhood.
A friend of mine that I studied martial arts with is having a tournament. I think we'll stop by there and see what's going on.
I'm going to the gym. Come on, hang out with me.
All right, well, come on.
Abdullah Aziz is a martial arts teacher.
We want to know, do you think people that have been convicted of a felony should have a right to vote?
We just don't want no rapists or people that's crazy out here that's doing just unspeakable crimes to try to come and be our decision makers when it comes to putting people in position.
So how would you respond to the fact that 85% of the people that are in these prisons are us, people that look like us and they're people of color? Now listen now. Mm-hmm. Every time they take a busload of people out of Harlem and put them on a bus and send them upstate, it discriminates against people of color.
As a man, let me say this. I'm going to retract my statement.
Listening to Hayden is very convincing. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund thinks so, too. They've taken the case, and his suit has become a class action on behalf of Black and Latino prisoners and parolees in New York and the communities they come from. But to many people, the idea of allowing a convicted murderer like Hayden to vote is an outrage.
It happened in her apartment in Albany. She had come home from her classes.
Janice Grieshopper is one of these people. Grieshopper's daughter Jenna was killed in 1997, just 1 week before her graduation from nursing school.
Was someone who had lived in her apartment building and had been watching her and following her.
The killer was caught later that evening.
He still had blood on his shoes, and he had a suitcase, and he was trying to get out of town.
Grieshopper says that violent criminals incur a debt that takes a lifetime to repay.
There's no question in my mind that people who have already shown a lack of judgment, I don't want these people having access to making changes in my life. They've already done that.
Someone who has committed a serious crime fails that minimum test of trustworthiness and loyalty that we require.
Roger Clegg is an attorney with the Center for Equal Opportunity, a think tank in Northern Virginia. Clegg believes that felons requesting their right to vote back should be handled on a case-by-case basis once their sentence is completed. But the grievance process in some states requires getting a pardon from a busy governor or getting a legislator to pass a law on your behalf. And in Florida, more than 100,000 people are waiting for their application to be reviewed. Of course, African American men aren't the only ones affected by felon disenfranchisement.
They battered down the door. They came in both front and back. And in less than 10 minutes, I had 7 guns pointed at my head.
Jan Warren is white, middle class, 52 years old, and a registered Republican. It was 1986, and Warren was trying to get out of a bad relationship when she discovered she was pregnant. Desperate to get home to California, she agreed to sell cocaine for her cousin. It turned out to be a police sting. Warren was given 15 years to life under the Rockefeller drug laws. Passed in the 1970s, these laws carry a minimum sentence of 15 years to life for first-time drug offenses. Jan Warren says the irony of her situation didn't really hit her until one day in the prison yard.
On certain holidays of the summer, because the yard season was Memorial Day to Labor Day, that was the best sunny weather. For a moment, you weren't in prison. You were just in any park, USA. Except on those holidays, I realized there was something missing, and that was the American flag. And then I realized there's no flag anywhere to be seen for us. It was gone. We couldn't see it. And that should have been my first clue that I wasn't a citizen anymore.
Eventually, Warren wrote to Governor George Pataki, and after serving 12 years, Warren was granted clemency, but not the right to vote. Unlike Jazz Hayden, who will be able to vote when he completes his parole, Warren is tethered to a lifetime parole and can never vote again. New York's disenfranchisement laws date back to 1846, but most states passed similar laws in the years just after the Civil War. Today, the laws are a hodgepodge. Only Maine and Vermont allow prisoners to vote. The other 48 states don't. Some take the right away from those on parole or probation as well. A dozen states, half of them in the South, take voting rights away from anyone who has committed a felony for their lifetime. According to researchers at the University of Minnesota, when they vote, felons vote overwhelmingly Democratic. Their research looked at the impact of felon voting on the U.S. Senate and found that several key races would have gone to the Democrats. But with few exceptions, Democrats in Congress have not exactly championed the issue. Legislation to allow ex-prisoners to vote nationwide was brought up once last year, but failed. And some Democrats could be concerned that appearing soft on crime might cost them more votes than they would gain. For Jazz Hayden, the issue is simple. All Americans deserve the right to vote.
The vote in America represents power. Because come election day, when I go to the voting booth and Bill Gates goes to cast his vote, all of us have one vote. George Bush, Bill Gates, and myself. And it's probably the only time in America that we all equal. And to deny me that right is to say that I'm not a citizen. I'm right back in the same situation that my ancestors were in.
Time does seem to be on Hayden's side. Polls show 80% of Americans favor restoring voting rights to ex-prisoners after their sentence is completed. In recent years, Connecticut, Delaware, and New Mexico have passed less restrictive laws, and there are legal challenges pending in Florida and Washington State. The class action suit, Hayden versus Pataki, is expected to go to trial in federal court in New York in 2005. For NPR News and American Radio Works, this is Rebecca Pearl.